Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given to us, that reveals your mind to us. We give you all the praise. And Father, as we get into your word today, we ask that there is clarity. We ask there is utterance. We ask that our heart is purified by your word, that the revelation knowledge of God, of Jesus, flows freely in our midst, and there is light. There is understanding. There is no confusion. There is no doubt. There is no unbelief. But Lord, we receive your word with faith in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, so we'll be talking about God's eternal plan. That's what we'll be looking at. We've seen how God made heaven and earth. All right, and we said God made heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, that's where it ends. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. Full stop. All right, so don't read it on into that. So Moses began again in verse 2, all right, or the writer of Genesis, all right. There's a reason why I'm saying the writer of Genesis and all, okay. Began to explain what happened. Because, in fact, Bible scholars has it that there is space between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. All right? God made heaven and earth. That there's a period of time. But let's leave that. All right? So, but we saw what happened to the earth. All right? It became void, without form and all. And God now began to create again. All right? He said, let there be light, and there was light, and it continued and all. Then in verse 7 and 8, he said, he spoke to the firmament, right? He spoke to the earth, let there be a firmament, all right? Call that firmament an expanse, a domain, a space, a territory, all right? He called that on earth, he called that heaven. Then he spoke to the waters again. We're going to talk about that waters. Not today, not in this Congress. What's that water? We're going to talk about it. All right? Because don't see it as a science thing or as matter. No, we're going to see how the Bible, just like we saw yesterday, that when you see stars, it made those stars, now they're calling them morning stars. All right? Don't just see them as stars and all. Moses was just using what was available, what he can see. All right, to describe what God did. All right, we're going to get into that. All right, so he said, let the firmament, thank you. All right, he says, thus God made the firmament and divided the water which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. In verse 8, he calls it heaven. All right, he says it is, and he says that is heaven. So we put it together. Then we said this heaven that God said should be. Now it tells us therefore that heaven is not where God lives. All right, because he made this heaven outside of himself. All right, can we make that logic together? Because God existed already. He said, let this house. So God was living somewhere before, or was existed somewhere before. Please watch that boy. That's some cable. Thank you. Alright. So he existed somewhere before, but maybe I should not go into that. Okay, let's just focus. But then he made heaven. Alright. Then in verse 9 and 10, thereabout, he made earth as well, and he made mankind, and he placed us there. All right, and he said thus in chapter 2 verse 1 and 2. I'm just recapping the things we've said so that we can travel easily today. All right, in chapter 2 verse 1, 2 and 3, we said that should have been part of verse 1, that thus the heavens and the earth, all right, and all of the host of them were finished on the seventh day. God finished everything he was doing, verse 3 and all. So we said so that's completed, all right, another part of the story. From verse 4, Moses again began another story. Not another story, but the same story, but elaborated more. Because it's in the midst of this that God will make man. Alright? God had made man in the midst of all of this story. Alright? So the history of heaven and earth. So, alright? He now described how he made mankind. Alright? He said he made man in chapter 2, verse 6, thereabout. He breathed into him. We've read it. And that would be the physical man, the mortal man, all right, the natural man, all right. And we said that he now placed that man that he made, the physical mortal man that he made, he placed him in Eden, all right. And we said that Eden is not different from the heaven that God has made, all right. So heaven, so see Eden as a metaphor or a figure of speech. All right, all describing the same thing, that God made man and placed him in heaven. In other words, placed him in Eden. In other words, placed him in Eden, in heaven. All right, made him spiritual, gave him a supernatural life, supernatural, you know, made him supernatural. All right, so he was on earth. All right, he was mortal yet supernatural, yet in Eden. The one thing that we said about Eden, all right, is that Eden is on high. Again, don't see it as a mountain. What we are saying is that Eden, what, you know, with being in Eden, what that gives to us is authority. It places us above. All right, we saw the metaphor and the figure of speech of that connotes what's it called, Eden, as on high, on a mountain. The water flows. That's why when Adam and what's his name, Lucifer, the Bible said he was cast down. Don't see it as him being thrown away. No, he was removed from that authority, from that space, from that Eden, from that life that is God, the authority of God that is God. Hallelujah. So we said that we are supernatural. Amen. We are supernatural. We are placed on high. All right, and yesterday we looked more into how, you know, man. So when we now say that man fell, all right, man fell. So we now know what we mean by the fall of man. It's not that he tripped. It simply means he lost his authority. He was, put it as, demoted. All right, it's more than demotion. Okay, but I see it as he was demoted. He was, he lost that authority. All right, and you know, and because of that, you know, things degenerated on and on and on and on. You know, Bible says that, you know, of course we now know they were, maybe the point, let's start from that point now. Let's get into what we want to teach today so that we stop the recapping. Amen. Let's get into today's teaching. Please follow and let's be blessed together. Okay. Some thoughts that I want to share with us, that most people tend to focus on the idea that Jesus came primarily to redeem us from what Adam and Eve did. That's what most people, that's what most people, you know, think about or assumed. All right, that what Jesus came to do is primarily, all right, to redeem us. It's true, no doubt. All right, but we're just trying to push today to see that it's more than that. All right, but let's move forward. That what Jesus came to do is to redeem us from what Adam and Eve did. But then let's look at this. The New Testament does not really emphasize Genesis 3 as heavily as we do today in our modern teaching. It does, no doubt, it does not ignore it, but it's not emphasized. That's what I've said. Right? We have less emphasis on Genesis chapter 3. It will be Romans that he talked about it, and maybe in Timothy or Thessalonians, all right, that Adam fell and all of those. Okay, excuse me. So it was just you know, there's less emphasis on it. But then let's move forward a little bit. Genesis chapter 3 serves more as an archetype. I'll tell you what type it is. It's like an illustration, you know, a type of what sin does to the man. Let's follow. What we saw in Adam, we're going to get it now, don't worry, put it together, is an archetype of what sin does to the man, and not why man sinned. That's what happened in Genesis chapter 3. What it does. So it shows us the effect of sin and not why mankind sin. I will explain further. Mankind sins because of free will. the humans with, you know, sins because of free will. And sin is not transmitted by procreation. That's where I'm going with that. All right? What we are trying to say is that because Adam sinned, you know, there's that narrative that all of us now, we sin. Well, it's partly true, and we clarify. All right? But the sin of Adam does not automatically makes all of us a sinner. I would clarify what I mean. Please, let's follow. All right? And let's, so that we can see why did Jesus come. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about today. In God's eternal plan, why did Jesus come? Okay? So, sin is not transmitted by procreation. All right? So, those who trace the sin of mankind to Adam, they have one side of the story. One-sided theology. For example, Adam, right? Adam gave birth to, how many, you know, to Cain and Abel. Alright? Adam gave birth to Cain and Abel. Right? Automatically, Abel should be a sinner. But you know, that's not what we saw in the Bible. Abel is a man of faith. A just man. So it means that the sin of Adam did not pass on to him. Is that correct? So we have a sinner dad, and a righteous dad. Sorry, and a righteous son. So it did, right, so that already breaks that equation. Alright? Then we have the unrighteous son, Cain. Alright? So it tells us again that it's just the free will of the man. Again, let's move forward quickly. You have the story of Isaac and Jacob. So Isaac, a righteous man. Hallelujah. Has got twins, Esau and Jacob. Alright? But Jacob, a righteous man. Esau, unrighteous. Alright? So you can see how that can flow. Alright? So what we are saying in that, so what the sin of Adam in Genesis chapter 3, what that record shows to us, alright, is what the effect of sin it brings down. Alright? It makes the man outside of Eden. Alright, and it's not why all of us sin. We said it, all mankind sins because of free will that God gave. Let me just read some things here. Then we can, because that's not even the point that I want us to see majorly today. Adam did not sin because he was fallen. Notice that Adam did not sin because he was, you know, at the time, at the time Adam sinned, you know, there was no fallen state. I'm going to wear the what Adam did, how it affected us. At the time Adam sinned, he was not fallen. He was in Eden. You get the point. But then, he sinned. Why? Because of his free will. Because of his will. That's why he sinned. But then, what Adam did now made it possible for man to now sin auto flow. All right? The man that will sin auto flow will still use his will like Adam did. All right? So Adam now set the pattern. Okay? But, you know, like I said it before, I used to have this senior in school. He was nobody, you know, secondary school, you know, boarding house. Very wicked, you know, guy like that. Everybody will not want to talk to him. This, you know, is everybody finds. But then there's one day, one of our juniors challenged him. And this has been for a while. Hey, stop it. Something like that. All right? Now, what all of us could not do, so that guy challenged him successfully. Guess what? The next day, all of us challenged him. All right? It's now easy. All right? There's this theory in production or so, there's from zero to one. Now, that's the difficult one, all right? Making something, moving from nothing to one, all right? That if you can move from zero to one, then you can subsequently move from one to two and even do it in a geometric order, all right? That's why zero times zero is always zero. But to move from zero to one, all right? So it was Adam that did that zero to one, all right? So once he sinned, so if you read it in, let's read, what's it called? I wrote it here. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. We're talking about why did Jesus come? That's what we're talking about. All right. And we're saying that, hey, yes, there was sin in Genesis chapter 3. There was rebellion in Genesis chapter 3. But it's an archetype. It's a type of what can happen to man. Genesis chapter, Romans 5, 12. Romans 5, 12. Look at it. He says, therefore, just as through one man, sin did what? Entered. Sin entered. So the origin of sin is from one man. But the multiplier effect, all right, of sin, all right, was caused by that one man. So it's now available. All right. In other words, that influence now spread everywhere. So there's now an influence that spread everywhere. So that was what happened in Genesis. All right. So Adam did not sin because he was fallen. It was because of his will. Now look at it. After he sinned, however, humanity entered a condition that now influences that will. So before now, all right, there's nothing to influence that will. But once the will of Adam has been influenced and is sinned, now the multiplier influencer of human's will now increased. See it as man now was born in a polluted environment. So it now becomes easy for man to sin. All right. So, like I said, man will still need, the sinner will still need to exercise his will to sin. Hallelujah. So sin begins with a choice and it spreads with the influence of sin that is already in the world. But let's move forward. Let's move on from there. For example, if you now go through Genesis, notice what I've said. Genesis chapter 3 was less emphasized in the New Testament. All right, we've said that. But then, if you go through Genesis, all right, you will see other rebellion or other rebellions. All right, now I know the focus is on Genesis chapter 3, but then you will notice that Genesis records several instances where human rebelled against God. All right, rebels against God, and this particular side of it was the loudest in the New Testament. All right, this particular rebellion that Adam did, it was the loudest in the New Testament. All right, loudest in it. But then what we can see about this rebellion is that for each of the rebellion that we saw, it was under an influence. There was the influence of supernatural being. Hallelujah. Are we together up to now? Okay. An influence of a supernatural being. We're going to look at them now. There's no doubt in Genesis chapter 3. All right. We said the serpent, Nakash, a supernatural being, came to deceive Eve, mankind. And because of that, man fell. But then that's not the end. All right. So what really happened there is like a type. But then in Genesis chapter 6, for example, you will see some more. All right. So let me just see what I have here. So supernatural beings are involved. Someone beyond the natural realm influencing, provoking, and tempting humanity to act against God. All right. There's now an influence that has spread everywhere. And we are saying that you will see a supernatural. Now, we are not attributing everything to the supernatural being. The man, the sinner, will still need to use his will. All right? But then it's under an influence. All right? Facebook knows that much. Social media knows. They just know what can influence you. They will just keep pushing it. All right? Yeah. If some people will not know that that's fed by a knowledge of people who makes the algorithm. The devil knows that much too. All right? It just feeds with, all right? But then, if you don't put on whatever Facebook or it won't come. So you still need to use your will, but the will now is susceptible to influence. All right, what are we doing here? We are making ourselves, we are equipping ourselves with knowledge to be able to quench and check that knowledge. But then let's move forward. Oh, sorry, check that influence. That influence. So let's look at this Genesis chapter 6. This is the bulk of our study today. Please let's follow. So we're saying, so rebellion 1 in Genesis is a type. Genesis chapter 3 is a type. Rebellion 2 will be in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. Maybe we'll just take it 2-2. We're just going to read together. Hallelujah. We studied along this line yesterday, and I want us to see. Okay? We are asking, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? We are beginning to see that mankind fell, and we've seen the particular fall of Adam, that it was just a type. Adam did not sin on my behalf. Didn't sin on everybody's behalf. But what he did made it possible. That's what we've said. All right? But then we're not seeing other rebellions. All right? That in all of those rebellions, you will see a supernatural being. All right? You will see them. We've talked about them yesterday. All right? Influencing mankind to sin. Let's move forward. I think we've created that point, because now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, we looked at it yesterday, all right, we saw that these sons of God, they were supernatural beings, all right, call them hosts of heaven, call them morning stars, call them ministers, call them angels, call them people who were meant to walk with God, all right, supernatural being, all right, saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful and all, and you know, I took them for wives, which shouldn't be. We know why God placed the sons of God in place. They were to minister, all right, to those of us who will be heirs of salvation. All right, but we saw here that, hey, now where is that place where it says the sons of God saw and they took? I was looking for that action. They took. Is that an exercise of their will? Yes. All right, so they exercise their will contrary. So were they supposed to take? No. All right, so what was this? And so this taking, is that an influence on the sons of on men and daughters of? Yes, they influenced mankind. All right, and that will be another rebellion. Now look at it in verse 12. Let's do verse 4. Verse 3 and 4, sorry. 3 and 4, sorry. All right. And the Lord said, so apparently God was not happy with them. All right. He was not happy, gave a limit to their days and all. But then, if you look at verse 11 and 12, let's put 11 and 12 together there, please. Verse 11 and 12. So the earth, can you see the corruption now? Can you see another rebellion? The earth was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. All right. So So God looked upon the earth. Indeed, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. All right. So another rebellion. All right. Was there a supernatural influence with this? Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. All right. Just as we saw in Genesis chapter 3. Okay. Another. Now, you know, this will be what leads to the flood. All right. So at the end of this, you know, the flood will come to wipe the whole earth away. So that's rebellion number 2. Amen. Again, we've seen that it was assisted, it was aided by supernatural beings. All right. You will see after the flood, again, all right, in Genesis 11, what we're just trying to say is that the focus should not just be on Genesis chapter 3 alone. All right. There is a rebellion in chapter 6, another rebellion in chapter 11. All right. And we're going to see all that happen. We're going to look at this again. Genesis 11, verse 1 to 4. Let's do verse 1 and 2, then verse 3 and 4. Genesis 11, 1 and 2. Now the whole earth, don't forget that, the flood had happened here and all, okay? Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they saw a plain. That plain, there would be like a wood, where we call the woods, in the Western world, just some plain, some forest. All right. Journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Verse 3 and 4. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them. All right. Verse 4. I'm just saving time. Verse 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Again, from what we know about heaven, all right, is heaven a physical place? No, an invisible place. So apparently what they were doing here, all right, it was written as they were going to build a temple or a tower whose height will reach heaven. But then, like we said yesterday, there's no technology to do that. Even today, if heaven is in the sky, all right, we have tall buildings, we have skyscrapers, we know, all right, but it's not getting to, there's a limit. We can see the height. So they are not building a tower. The intention was never to build something that will touch heaven. I mean, that we get so that we penetrate the atmosphere or the hemisphere and get to God. They were not going to do that, all right. But what they were going to do is they were building actually a temple, a cathedral, all right, and it is for idol worship, all right. So that tower, if you look at that tower there, it's called Zugarath, all right. Maybe after now, if you go to Google, all right. Of course, it now makes sense because it from there they will now sacrifice to host of heaven. So indeed, they were going to touch heaven, all right, but it's not a physical structure. They were going to worship and sacrifice, all right. And of course, later on in the history of mankind that they continued to do that. Hallelujah. All right. So that will be four generations after Noah, all right. They now build. They were going to build this temple, and what happened? God divided these people, or better put, God scattered their language. All right, God scattered their language, and we read in Deuteronomy. Let's read Deuteronomy again, please. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 8. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. So Moses was telling this story. Did you consider that time? Ask your father and he will show you. Your elders and they will tell you what happened when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations. So there was a point in the history of mankind when God divided the nations. All right, we look at it yesterday. In dividing the nations, he appointed angels to them, or sons of God. All right, we clarified this yesterday, that it's not just children of Israel, because at this time in history, children of Israel, Israel in itself, was not in existence. All right, it will be later on. All right, but then we saw that what he was saying here is it is the Son of God. All right, so the nations was divided, and we have sons of God that was now assigned to be in charge of them. Are we together, friends? Praise God. Just building. Don't forget the question we're asking: why did Jesus come? That's what we're asking. All right, so and we are looking at all of those rebellions. All right, in other words, what we are trying to land on is that Jesus came to correct all of those rebellions. We're going to get there, all right? But I don't just want to say, rebellion, without us not understanding what happened. And that's what we're doing now, okay? So, and if you notice that it was after, this is Genesis 11. This is not Genesis here, but what it's referring to here is Genesis 11. When they built the Tower of Babel, all right? And God scattered them, all right, into several nations all over the world, all over the earth. And he appointed sons of God, again, supernatural beings, to be in charge of them, all right? But then, if you notice what happened after that, what happened after that would be Genesis 12. And Abraham surfaced. All right? God saw that these ones, they are not going to listen. So God will now start again with Abraham. The promise he had always given. All right? He will now, he says, I know Abraham. Abraham will do. So all of those contexts fit into what God told Abraham. Hallelujah. But then let's move on. So God started again with Abraham. All right? But then, when we said God appointed the nations to the children of Israel or to the sons of God, you know, those sons of God, they will yet rebel. They will yet disobey. All right? Praise God. Well, let's just listen. I hope I'm not losing anybody. I don't want to rush it. I'm taking it one after the other. So if I can do a quick recap before we move on, what we are saying is that the focus has always been on Genesis 3. All right? But then what Genesis 3 taught us is just a type that happened to Adam standalone. All right? It now became possible for mankind to do what Adam did. But Adam didn't do it on our behalf. All right? So my son didn't become a sinner because I gave birth to him. All right? No, he did not. All right? However, he's born into a world where there are sins around. So it's someone we just say, I'm a cat. Someone will say, someone is smoking. Someone is just messing around. It becomes easy to catch. The reason parents have got that duty, all right, to show them what they can believe, what they can fall into. We have some children that will never sin. They will never know sin. They will know it. They were not born. All right, let's leave that. All right, so but then we said, even with that, there was this supernatural assistance to it. Then we've seen Genesis chapter 6, another supernatural assistant. Then Genesis 11, they were building that temple to worship idols. All right, again, another supernatural influence and assistance there. Now, pay attention to this. We said God divided the nations according to the number of the sons of God all over the world. I want to make some statement, you know, here. I said, and they will yet rebel. All right? And don't forget, these sons of God, they are all over the world. God made them. We read it yesterday. You know, we talked about it. I don't want to go into all the details we went to get. So this, they will be the host of heaven. They will be called morning stars. I think we've talked about that, okay? But then, I want to say here, this explains, please pay attention to this point because we are going somewhere. This explains. Now, what is this? The sons of God that God assigned the word to, the earth to, all right? It explains, please pay attention, why we have so many deities in the world today. All right? Why we have so many deities and religion in the world today. All right? Have you not noticed that it is in just some region of the world that there is this Hinduism predominant? Another, this part of the world, there's just Buddhism, whatever. All right, another part of the world, there's just Islam. And all right, you see all of those. All right, you need to be able to know that as believers. All right, and you know, each of them will say that, oh, an angel appeared to me. That they got it from an angel. And what they wrote down as their doctrine also is so intelligent as well. But it contradicts the plan and purpose of God. Make sense? Make sense? So that's how we have them all over the world. We have the Vikings as well, in the Western world, in Europe, you know, in those days. All right, they were, it's all over the world. Yet, they were sons of God. All right, they were meant to work for God. They were meant to minister to us. All right, they were meant to support, to assist, to serve men or minister to mankind. But they rebelled. They rebelled. All right. So this explains why we have all of those religions in the world today. Now, that's not a popular conclusion. Many people believe, oh no, that's not it. But then it makes sense. Let me say something here. There is no divine being anywhere in the world created today. You know, there's no divine being anywhere in the world that is not created by God. I don't want to mention names because people will listen to this message. All right? Call it whatever, Shintoist, any name. All right? There is none of them that God did not create. God created them. They just get John chapter 1 verse 3. John chapter 1 verse 3. Of course, we read yesterday, by his word, he made heaven and the host of them. We read it. I just wanted to see that this man, John chapter 1 verse 3, all right, that, you know, God made all of this. God made them. Look at him. Look at it. When he says all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. God made all of these things. Hallelujah. All right. So the host of heaven, the angels, the men, the mankind, everything, God made them. All right. But then some of them rebelled and all. Now let's move forward quickly. We're going to read a lot of scriptures now. All right. Because we want to know, why did Jesus come? Yeah. So that, because if we don't know why Jesus came, we will limit it to, oh, he just came to save me and to give me bread and tea. There is more to that Jesus came to do. All right, there is more. Of course, yes, he came to save us. He came to provide. He came, salvation is soteria, sozo, you know, all thing. Yeah, but I'm telling you, there is more to what Jesus came to do than bread on our table. There is more. There is more. Hallelujah. All right, so because mankind sinned, and don't forget again, we are not attributing everything to man, to the devil, to supernatural beings, because man can choose. Just like if everywhere is polluted, all right, you can choose to use a nose mask, you can choose to eat right, you can choose to exercise, you can choose, all right, you can weak. Man has got that ability. The reason, all right, by the time we are studying Joshua, you know, when Joshua said, I present to you today life and death, what do you think he was saying? He was preaching the gospel to them. Where is that life? The life is in Christ Jesus. We get there. So, because man will rebel, man under the influence of this supernatural being will rebel. I want to read another point here, that God left man to the consequences of his own imagination and choices. He allowed humanity's rebellion to take shape, all right, to take shape, and in the process, he assigned supernatural being to monitor them. We've read that. Let's read Romans chapter 1. Verse 20-28. So maybe we'll take it 2-2. I just want us to see again. Don't forget what I said yesterday. When the writers of the New Testament, when they are writing, they are making a lot of assumptions, a lot, thinking, assuming that you've read the Old Testament and you understand what they were saying. Because at the time when Paul was writing, there's no Romans. All right, he taught from the Old Testament. If you see Jesus taught particularly, majorly from Deuteronomy. You know, he did that. All right, he taught particularly. He responded, he reasoned from Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. All right, let's just see what happens. See the state of man here. For since the creation, can you see, is that Genesis? Yeah. All right, for since the creation of the world is invisible. Now, is that heaven, that invisible attribute? Would that be heaven? Would that be spiritual things? All right. Would that be Eden? All right. Praise God. All right. So his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. It was so obvious. They saw that there is more to this. They saw, you know, particularly the children of Israel, they saw miracles. How can you walk in between waters? There's none of their God that could do that. They saw it. All right. He says, because although they knew God, they know that there's a God. They knew. All right. But they did not glorify him as God. Does that happen today? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All right. No, we're thankful. We should be thankful. Anyway, let's move on. But they became futile in their thoughts. You know, imaginations, you know, intellect, some, you know, Greek, some teaching, some stuff. Of course, we now know that all of this, it was aided by supernatural beings, all right? And they were foolish, and their foolish hearts were darkened, all right? You know, it didn't say what happened here, but it was darkened, meaning their hearts deviated from the light that is in Christ Jesus, that is in God. Verse 22 and 23. Professing to be wise, they became fools, all right? And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Can you see what they were now doing? Verse 24:5. Therefore, God gave them, can you see the point? God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their body among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God's word for lie and worshipped. Did you see the point now? These angels, these sons of God, they were not supposed to be worshipped. Alright? And worshipped and served the creature. These creatures, did God make these creatures? Yes. Alright? Rather than the creator who is blessed forever. 26 and 28. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion. Alright? For even their women exchange. Do you know where that is now? Is that Genesis chapter 6? Alright? So, exchange their natural... Of course, it started Genesis chapter 6. We now see that all across the Bible. Alright? Natural use of what is... for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men. Living the natural use of the woman, born their lust, you know, and all right, it just continued. It became serious, all right. So man, God now left mankind to their own imagination, the consequence of their own imagination. I want us to go back to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because God actually warned them. They were warned. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15 to 19. Maybe we do 2, 15, 16, then 17, 18. Oh, it depends. Thank you. So, look at them. So, when they came out from Egypt, look at the instruction God gave them. He says, take careful heed. Is that the same instruction for us today? Yes. He says, take careful heed to yourself, for you saw... So when we say there's no oil, there's no bread, there's no bottle, there's no handkerchief. Now, leave that. What I'm saying, it says, take heed to yourself, all right, for you saw no form, nothing, when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself, can you see now, a carved image in form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, 17 and 18. The likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, all right? The likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. Verse 19. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and you see the sun. You know that sun is not the sun. They are wise. They know that the sun is far away. But you know here, he's talking about supernatural beings, okay? And the moons and the stars, all right? And all the host of course, you know, and all the host of heaven. Do you see how he puts it together now, all right? And you know, when you read the Bible, you know, wonder, okay, sun, stars, moon, then host of heaven. What's that? Definitely, these are not just suns that we see, all right? These are supernatural beings, all right? And you feel driven to worship them and serve them, with the Lord your God has given to all the people. You know when God gave it to all the people, all right, he divided people, all right, to the nations under the old heaven as a heritage. They were not supposed to be worshipped. And that's why you will see in the Old Testament a lot of thou shall not have any other God. Thou shall not worship another God. All right. Did you notice that was a lot in the Old Testament? Thou shall not worship. It is this that is influencing it. We are doing Bible study, right? No, we are talking about why did Jesus come. So that when we stand on a point that this is all we want to do, so that you know where again that is coming from. Hallelujah. Alright? So you will say, don't worship. In fact, as part of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any other God. It's because of all of this. So there are other gods, quote and unquote. I know in our study, one of our stories said there's no other God. We said there are judges. But there are other supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Let's move forth. Let's move faster. Other supernatural beings. And again, the New Testament is not quiet about this. Alright? It's not quiet. Second Peter. Let's now go to Second Peter. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Why did Jesus come? We're looking at God's eternal plan. Why did he come? Of course, he came to give us understanding. He came to show us who God is. Yes, that's what we've emphasized. But he came to do much more than that. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Look at it. Look at it. He said, for if God did not spare the angels. Of course, we now know angels now. Angels can be, God himself at some point was an angel. In that he came, so, because when the angel that appeared to Moses, if you read on, it says, oh, the Lord was here. So it was the Lord himself that came. So it is a messenger. All right. There are supernatural beings also that are messengers. Bible talked about in Revelation, it says, I am writing to the angels of the churches, messengers. So these are messengers who sinned. We now know their sin, right? All right. But cast them down. You know the point now. Cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So God is keeping it. I tell you, wonder, God, how long? But then, that's just God. He's reserving them for judgment. And did not spare, of course, the ancient world. You know that, you now know the ancient world? He talked about Noah. So where is this? Genesis chapter 6. So what I'm trying to let us see is that the New Testament was not quiet about these guys. And we too must not be quiet. We're taught that they are. Hallelujah. Let's see some more. Jude chapter 1. Peter said it. I mean, we are going to Paul. Paul said it was almost in all of his letters. All right? And if we're going to do the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ very well here, we will not be ignorant of this fact. That's where we're going with all of this. Or one of the things or places we're going with all of this. Right? We'll be ready to, not fearfully, boldly, to face these things. Let's move faster. Jude chapter 1, 6 and 7. Jude 1, 6 and 7. Jude has got one chapter. Verse 6 and 7. Again, look at it. And the angels, I mean, it seems to be a very popular knowledge in the New Testament. All right? Jude wrote about it again. He says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, you know the proper domain now, all right, but left their own abode, all right, are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Alright, as Sodom, again, he told us, he referred to when it happened. Again, so all of the things you saw in Sodom and Gomorrah, we now know it's the angels. Alright, they were responsible for that. Alright, again, when we say host of heaven, not all of them. Alright, well, just when you say the Jews, not all of them, the Jews did not accept Jesus. That's too general. Alright, we can say some Jews. Because Paul, Peter, they were Jews. All right? It could be the man, but you can't say everybody. They're all, no. All right? Anyway, let's move forward from there. All right? So again, let's drive home now. But then I wrote here, I said, God played a smart one on them. On all of these sons of God, God played a smart one on them in that comprehend what God was going to do. You know what? Again, that will now answer for why we have so many types and shadows in the Old Testament. All right? That's why it's in the Old Testament, it was coded. That's why the plan of God, again, you know, we've told ourselves, that's why, you know, be coded. The devil is not that intelligent. All right, he only knows the things you tell him. All right, he only knows. He's not. He's, we've said it. He's not. Well, I'm going to show us a scripture. So God had a plan. All right, he played a smart one on them. All right, things were coded. It was type and shadow. It was just so they could not figure out. They knew that God was up, but they couldn't figure it out. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 2 or 1 Corinthians chapter 2? I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not 2nd. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not 2nd. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Let's look at it. Look at it now. All right. You know, Paul was talking about the things that God was going to do. All right. Even Isaiah prophesied it. That's Isaiah. All right. He says, which none of the rulers of this age. So we know the rulers of this age, right? You know, from what, all right, which none of the rulers was talking about the things of the Spirit of God, all right, that now God has given us the Spirit of God so that we can understand his mind, all right? He says, which none of the rulers of this age, of course, we know the rulers of this age now knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified. If they knew, they wouldn't kill Jesus. Continue to reign. You understand? Because if they had known, they would never have killed the Son of Glory, all right, or the King of Glory, all right, or the Lord of Glory, all right. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for those who loved him. They didn't know it, so God played a smart. Can you imagine? Herod did not know that the king was born, or the devil didn't know. Why didn't he tell Herod? Okay, now the wise men came to, when the angel came to tell Joseph leave, why did the devil not know? Why did he not go and block the way? He didn't know. He cannot know. All right? And we as believers will be intelligent, will be knowledgeable about these facts, all right? Not all the things will be on social media. So I wonder at time when we are praying and things are, you know, I'm not saying that, but why do we have to put prayer meeting on social media? Because it's a battle. Now, let me just use this. Alright? US and Iran, they are fighting. Do you think their strategy is on social media? Is that okay? Okay. Though they come out and say this, but then, do you know where they are meeting? It's not. But that's the battleground. That's where they do things. Hallelujah. Alright? What I'm saying is that it is the things that we tell the devil or that we bring to the public space that he knows. He's not that smart. So don't be afraid of him. All right? Part of this lesson is so that we are not afraid of the devil. No, he's not that smart. And even if he's that smart, we have authority. You get the point? All right? So we are at an advantage on every side. And we should know this knowledge. Hallelujah. So Herod did not even know that Jesus left town. I wrote it there. Herod did not even know that Jesus left town. All right, so I want us to read some scriptures now. So we're gonna state some point. Where did Jesus come? All right, we're gonna state that quickly. Just some New Testament that they were not silent about Jesus, about these sons of God. Even in the New, so don't say, oh, we are in the New Testament. Grace covered. Well, grace did not stop us from praying. It didn't stop us from engaging. It didn't stop us from being offensive, quote and unquote offensive. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Let's just read. We're going to read some scriptures now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 17. Colossians 1, 15 and 17. We're just going to read it quickly. If you can put everything together, sir. 15 to 17. Look at. Let's just. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven. And that we're on earth, of course, you now see what I was saying about heaven now. Can you see what I said about heaven? All right. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, you know, principalities and powers and all the things were created through him. All right. And, you know, and he is before all things and in him all things. So you now know all of, you know, the context. So they were not silent. They know. It was part of the things that were being taught in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Just to read again what God did to these things. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. I like this. Ooh, glory to God. He says, having wiped out the handwriting and requirement that was against us. Let me say some things. So when we say that the law was given and was assisted by angels, we now know where that is coming from. All right? That's not this. I just digressed and we'll come back. So the law was never of God. Let's just stop that there. We'll bring it, okay? So let's read. Having wiped out the handwriting and the requirement that was against us, that would be the law. Those handwritings, thou shalt, it was against the man. All right? But God allowed it. In his wisdom, in his plan, he allowed it, all right? Which was contrary to us and has taken it out on the way, having nailed it to his cross or to the cross, having disarmed, glory to God. So you see that? He disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. He triumphed over them in it. Hallelujah. That's what we have in our Lord, in our Christ Jesus. God, Jesus triumphed in it. Hallelujah. Let's do some more. Some more. Romans chapter, you know, we're just going to Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. We read this yesterday. I just want to point it out again. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. See, I mean, have you seen in virtually all of Paul's letters that refer to the principalities? Refer, all right? They were not silent about it. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's the name of a church. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. All right? He says, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing. All right? See, Paul, he said, is what? Is persuaded. So what should we do? We should be persuaded. All right? He may not look, but I'm persuaded. That if God be for me, who can be against us? Be persuaded. Hallelujah. Be that persuaded. Hallelujah. Let's see. I just want us to see that Paul mentioned all of these things in his Galatians. Let's see again. So he didn't leave his people to be ignorant. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. We're just going to read this quickly and move on, because I still want us to answer quickly, why did Jesus come? But let's put 8 and 9 together, sir. But then indeed, when you did not know God, can you see? You served those which by nature were not gods. You know what he's talking about now? All right? But now, after you have known God, or rather known by God, all right? See the way he puts them. He says, you turn back to those weak and beggarly elements, all right, to which you desire again to be in bondage. So they put in bondage. They are weak and beggarly. So that's not us. Hallelujah. Let's say the last bit. I mean, there's a lot of references to all of those sons of God, supernatural beings, all right, that the New Testament referred to. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. If you can put everything together. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 3. Again, just to let us see that the New Testament wasn't quiet about these principalities. And you have made, and you, of course, you know, talking about he raised Jesus Christ, he made him head of all, far above principalities, far above. So when we say far above, now we don't know what that means. Far above in authority, principalities, all right? And you, he made alive, all right? He made me alive. We were once dead in sins, in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, all right? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, all right? You know, those spirits that now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom you also have your way, all right? He says that he talked about them, all right? But that now we have been raised. If you read verse 4, it says, but God was merciful to us. So we didn't qualify for it. It was with his mercy that he delivered us from this bondage. And he made us, and he sat us with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's just write this down. Why did Jesus come? Number one, to restore man in God's sacred place. And that'll be Genesis chapter 3. To restore man back, of course, when you say restore, there's no back. But, you know, that's the grammar that we learned growing up. To restore back. But it's to restore. To restore man in God's... So what's that sacred place? Eden? Heaven? All right? Supernatural? All right? So is that the temple of God? That's Eden? Is that the place of God? Yes. That's the temple, that's the heaven, that's the space, that's the abode of God, all right? Where the territory, the temple, the tabernacle of God, Alright? But it is to restore man back to that tabernacle, to that sacred place. That's one. That's one. Alright? Now, so reconciling humanity to his presence. That's Genesis chapter 3. You know, we read Genesis chapter 3, okay? Now, number two, to restore man as God's sacred place. We said to restore man in God's sacred place, number one. Now we're saying to restore man as God's sacred place. And that will be Genesis chapter 6. Because, you know, in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, they violated mankind. They, you know, it wasn't supposed to be, all right? The spirit that should dwell in mankind is the Holy Spirit, is God himself. All right, so what part of what Jesus came to do is to restore man as so as we are now, the me as I am, you know, that's grammar. All right, now we I am a temple, I am a sacred place of God. The reason Paul we say, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? All right, that's what Jesus came, he came to restore you and I as God's sacred place that the sons of God violated in Genesis chapter 6. So we are now restored back. So what flowed in us, the nature that we carry now, is God's, is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So number two, and that'll be Genesis chapter 6, to reclaim, all right, man as God's dwelling place. Number three. Now, we are not going, you know, we are looking at Genesis, all of those Genesis events, the rebellion, okay? To restore the earth as God's sacred place. To restore the earth. In Genesis chapter 11, we saw that the whole earth, they were teaming up to build what's it called? A temple to worship idols, all right? And God scattered their plan. Hallelujah. I don't have the time, you know, today to clarify that. All right, you will see a type of that in Jacob. Jacob saw a dream, all right, and he was touching heaven. All right, he saw a dream, and that's Jesus connecting to God. It's only through Jesus that we can connect to God, and not through any other. So God scattered. But then what Jesus came is to restore the whole earth as God's sacred place. And I wrote here, this is why we preach. Hallelujah. This is why we preach. All right? So that we're going to continue in the evening. All right? So this restoration of the whole earth as God's sacred place is why we preach. And God is actively at it. God is still working on it today. Hallelujah. Claiming back territories to himself. That's why you are here. That's why I'm here. That's why you're a believer here. That's why we are Christians here. All right? That's why we are here. All right? And that's why we pray. That's why we do all we do in church. That's why we train ourselves like this. All right? That's why we preach. That's why we pray. We preach to recover God's sacred place on earth. So don't say, oh, it is finished. It is finished. God finished. Well, it's finished. Yeah, sure. But the work is ongoing. Through you and I, the work is still ongoing to preach the gospel to everyone all over the world. Hallelujah. Amen. This is how we preach. All right, you know, Grimsela led us to pray today. He says, Paul was saying that, oh, I want you to know the conflict that I have, that you may have understanding, that you may be assured. That conflict is he was preaching, he was praying. No, they've not seen him face to face, all right? But he labored, he was in conflict, is a battle. That's why we preach. Let's read 1 Samuel, just as an example. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Samuel, I just want us to see something, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. So if we do 2, 2. Let's do 2, sir. 1 and 2. Yeah, thank you. Look at this. So then, something happened here. They took the Ark of God. Praise God. Pay attention, look at this. Then the Philistine took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistine took the Ark of God, that's the presence of God, all right, that's God's light, God's presence, all right, and brought it into the house of Dagon. You know this Dagon, all right, another god, okay, all right, and set it by Dagon, Ah, you know the story already. Verse 3 and 4. 3 and 4. 3 and 4. Okay, look at it. When the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon falling on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Smashed down. Praise God. So they took Dagon and set it in its place again. Okay. All right now. Let's see. Then, when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon falling to his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon. The head of Dagon and both his palms of its hand were broken off the threshold. Broken off the threshold. Only Dagon's torso, that's his trunk, all right, was left off. Left of it. Verse 5. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor anyone who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Do you know what has happened there? Right? When we come with the gospel, with the light of God, we eliminate those gods. We eliminate. Now, notice that they couldn't restore it. It says to today. This trait means they could not service it. They could not worship again. That's what we are here for. All right? So I wrote here, I said the gospel, they knew that this land is already taken. That place, that village, they knew already. All right? So I said the gospel claims places. Yes. And it cleanses people. That's what it does. The gospel claims territory. So when we say territory is about buying houses, about giving, that's not what the gospel is all about. It's about making the whole earth, all right, a sacred place for God again. That's what we do with this gospel. That's why we pray. That's why we do all that we do. Hallelujah. All right. So our engagement as believers is not natural. All right. Because in preaching the gospel, it's not natural. I want believers to know that. Alright? As our engagement as believers is not natural. Alright? It is supernatural. This is the reason we pray. This is the reason we prophesy. This is the reason we speak words ahead of us. Hallelujah. We have a mandate to take the world. We have a mandate to take the world. We have a mandate to take the world. We're just going to read through scriptures. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. Let's just read some quick scriptures now. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18. Look at it now. You know, Jesus came, all right, after his death and burial. See what he said. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. And he spoke to them saying, all authority, has been given to me. We now know heaven and on earth. I have all the authority now. He disarmed them. Make them toothless. Ineffective. Alright, they're only effective because men are ignorant. And we are here to bring the light of Jesus. Not disco show. Not now get me right. I'm not saying, not all of those church paparazzi that we do. No, there's more work for us. Reclaiming the territory, the whole heart for Jesus. That is why we are here. We are not here to play. Hallelujah. Alright. Now see what he said. 19, sir. Now if you go to 19:20, alright. See what it says? Therefore, make disciples of what? Of all the nations. Did you see? All right, go. Do you know all of these nations now? It doesn't make sense now. When it says go to all the nations, where it divided, go to all of the nations and get it back for me. And see what it is. Again, he didn't sleep. Look at verse 20. We're going to come back to this. All right. He says, teaching. It says, behold, lo, I am with you. Always. Even to the end of the age. I'm there. I'm with you. Say, Jesus is with me. God is with us. That's the boldness that we have. That's the assurance that we have. Hallelujah. That's the assurance that we have. That God is with us. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 and 12. 10 to 12. Let's just read it quickly. Then we go today. Ephesians 6. Alright, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might and the power of his might. He says, put on the almighty. Alright, now verse 12 is what I want to emphasize now. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh. So it's not about people. We are not. So any doctrine that makes us pick our neighbor as an enemy is not the gospel of Christ. No. All right. Our battle is not against man, it's flesh and blood. All right. So it says against the rulers of the darkness of this. You see now, against spiritual hosts. Do you know that of wickedness in heaven? Do you know we make sense now? That's the people we are dealing with. Those are the guys we are dealing with, friends. Hallelujah. All right. But then you know they don't have powers. We read Jesus disarmed them. Hallelujah. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Let's just read that also. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Look at that. He said, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Why? Whose mind the God of this age. Can you see the tutor that wasn't quiet about them at all? Alright? Different from, Jesus had finished the war. Yeah, Jesus finished it, but we should know where the war continues. Alright? So the God of this age, they are still active and they are deceiving people till today. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, lastly, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. So I say, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? We're getting to know that he came to restore man back into the God's sacred place. He came to restore mankind as God's sacred place. He came to restore the whole earth as God's sacred place. Look at it. For though we walk in the flesh, we are humans, you know, flesh, natural, all right? But then our battle is not according to the flesh, all right? What we are dealing with is not according to the flesh, all right? But the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So these devils, they've planted strongholds in people. Verse 5 and 6. All right? Casting down arguments. So you will see, we're talking about it, was that last Sunday? All right? Clever arguments that people have, you know, all right? But we have the power to bring all of those down. That's why our thoughts, they are more supernatural than we think. The things, people just form opinion, they just don't like you. Where is that coming from? And it spreads everywhere. Oh, it's the devil, we should know. So we can arrest those thoughts. Yeah, we can arrest those thoughts. I know to do those things. There was someone like you in those days. It doesn't just like me. Ah, he will like me. Get over a bagaliagrai. He go. It's about a week later. They call me Dotsu. Are you okay? You will like me. You must like me. Because our weapon is not carnal. It's not carnal. Does that make sense at all? All right. So we have work to do, don't we? All right. We have work to do. Hallelujah. And does that make sense to us at all today? All right. Why did Jesus come? He came to restore the whole earth. So the whole earth is the tabernacle of God. The whole earth. And you and I, we've been enlisted as part of that. We're going to continue later in the evening. All right. How many of us will believe this is a good thing to do with our mind? You know, I can watch movies and just, you're using your mind. All right. But it's not fruitful. It's natural. It dies here. But what we are doing now with our mind, he has eternal reward. And particularly when we now take on those things we've learned and we now begin to act on them, you now take the gospel of Jesus seriously. Preaching it. You think God just brought us here? No, it's much more than an accounting job. Please do your work very well. Please be smart at work. But please know. It's way beyond that. We are here. And please don't quote me out of context, but anyway, we are here to preach the gospel of Jesus. We're here to work, no doubt, because, you know, we must be faithful to our employers and all, do what we need to do. But I tell you, we are here to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus, to make the whole earth, to recover the whole earth as God's sacred place. Let's just give God praise today. Give him praise because he's a faithful Father. Lord, we give you praise. Why not just in 1 minute? Just 1 minute. Let's pray. Lord, we recover this earth. You know, when I say my servant, my God, we will get this job done. That's what we're talking about. we will get this job done. We will recover the whole earth. The whole earth. for our God. We will preach this gospel. We will take it to the ends of the world. We will spread the gospel everywhere. Kashalaba. Obaya, we will, in the name of the Lord Jesus, preach this gospel. It is accepted. It reaches every house, every quarter, in Jersey and beyond, in the name of Jesus. Nothing difficult for me. Nothing. In the name of Kashalaba, we preach this gospel. We recover the old earth as God's sacred place. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, great and mighty Father. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.